Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the NAREIT podcast. I'm Alan Kinney, editorial director with REIT.com. Joining me on the phone today is Ted Rollins, CEO, co-chairman, and co-founder of Campus Crest Communities, a student housing REIT. Ted, how you doing?
Great. How you doing, Alan?
Doing very well. Really appreciate you taking time out of your day to talk with us today. I want to start off asking you about the student housing sector in general. Where is the growth right now in this sector?
Well, Alan, we do quite a bit of research on that, and what we've seen generally is, the private schools tuition has gotten very high, as well as the for-profit schools, and we've seen a decline in the for-profit schools. The private non-profit schools, the branded ones, continue to grow pretty well, and the smaller ones, are struggling a bit given the current economy. But a lot of the growth is happening in the state public schools. Now, it breaks out into two pieces. There's a flagship, which would be in our state, like North Carolina, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, or North Carolina State. And then you have non-flagship schools, which would be in our state, a school like University of North Carolina at Wilmington. And what we've seen is the rate of growth in the non-flagship schools exceeds that of the flagship schools. And that's primarily because there's a great value in education. There's more absolute demographic that are going to those schools, that are attracted to those schools, that see those as their college experience. And so they have grown, roughly to 12% over the last 5 years. And continue to do so. If you look at our company, we focus primarily on those non-flagship schools and then secondarily on the flagship schools. We're weighted roughly 67% to the non-flagships and 33% to the flagship schools. So that's really where we see the growth.
And one of the big stories in higher education right now here in Washington is the debate over student loan rates. Obviously, we've seen these trending upwards. What does that mean for Campus Crest business in the long run?
Well, Alan, it's interesting. You have to look at all aspects of something. But, I had an opportunity, and some of our folks, to speak to a lot of the different people in the student loan business. And what became apparent is that, student loans are a big, big impetus to help kids go to college that couldn't otherwise afford it. And there's a default rate out there that, is meaningful. And typically your default is happening with students that don't graduate. So the majority of defaults are generally, towards those kids that don't attain a four-year degree. One little fact that I like to throw out there is roughly half of the kids in America do not have any financial aid, so there's that part of it. And then the remaining that do have it, there's about a 7% default rate, I think, and that's among the whole cohort there. So that includes four-year graduates and non-four-year graduates and dropouts. And of that 7.5%, a big slice of that is really focused on those kids that aren't graduating. Now, what they're doing and what the proposal is to raise the rate, and that's a prudent thing to do. We believe it's a good long-term for the student loan business because it makes it sustainable. They just can't sustain it on the rates they're charging now given the default rates. And so, therefore, they're making a very good decision that we think won't impact enrollment, that, in fact, will keep the student loan business intact and sustainable for years to come. So we think it's positive. If you look at it based on a student, and if you look at our average tuition, which is roughly $8,000 a year, and then you add board, and let's say the kid has some nominal amount of financial aid from the school and works some, one or both, then we say a kid's going to come out of school with a roughly $50,000 in student loans. And let's say the increment of interest that's charged on those loans is 300 basis points or 3%. So they raise the rates 3%. Incrementally, that student is going to be paying, when they graduate, $1,500 a year more for their loan costs. Now, we don't believe that if you look at the average wage coming out of college, that, yes, it's a meaningful part of the cost or of a living expense, but we don't think it sinks the ship. We don't think it deters kids from borrowing money and going to school, and we think long-term it's the right thing to do for the sector.
Ted, tell me a little bit about vertical integration and how you think that drives the growth and returns for Campus Crest.
Alan, that's a Great question. I mean, we're the one, one of our peers, only one actually of our public peers, and then of our other industry peers, one of the only companies that has does this. And really, what that means and what that does is it allows us to enjoy lower product costs, so lower cost of the asset to get into it, which in turn creates a higher return. And the way we do that is by controlling that project from development to construction. You know, we build a prototypical product. But mainly, we control and own and have a captive general contractor in our business. In addition to that, we have a captive wholesale supply in our business. And those two companies supply the materials and labor and manage the projects under construction, which delivers the asset at about 15 to 20% less than our peers can that do not use internal general contracting. In addition to that, that same group, that same construction group, and becomes our facilities group as the property becomes an operating property. And so the same people that build it are responsible for operating, and there's a good continuum of accountability there. And then finally, I think we experience this phenomenon internally that is we call compounding of knowledge. So we develop it, we construct it, we operate it, we refine the design, then we build it again. So it's a refinement over and over of our design, and these buildings are built to operate. So as our operators operate it, as our salespeople sell it, they notice things where we can improve, and then we improve it in the design, and then we start all over and build it. We're on our 10th generation now. And I can tell you it's been a great benefit to not only the company from an operational standpoint and efficiency standpoint, but also from a return standpoint for our shareholders.
And then you also employ a multi-brand strategy too, is that correct?
We do. We do. And in fact, you know, this is new this year, although we've been planning it for quite some time. We basically purchased a company on a multi-step basis called Copper Beach, and it added a second brand. Our original brand was The Grove, and you know, we're one of a few out there that brand their properties, but we believe there's a lot of value in it. So we basically have our basic sophomore and junior housing, apartment life, more engaged than you know, a lot of engagement with the kids through our proprietary residence life programming, and then we now have a second brand that really appeals to the upperclassmen, mostly seniors, graduate students that want a little less engagement, a little more privacy, and it's a townhouse format. So really what that does, Alan, is that appeals to the individual excuse me, that wants kind of that residential feel after living in a dorm and then in an apartment and now in a residential type of living experience where they have their own front door, where they have a vertically oriented living space, and they have a back porch for socializing and grilling and, you know, what have you. So it's a nice addition. That brand's called Copper Beach. So we have The Grove and Copper Beach. And I'd say, as you may have read in the newspaper, we have a project in Philadelphia, and we have a project now in Montreal. So stay tuned. We have a third brand getting ready to give birth here shortly.
Tell us about your residence life programming, the SCORES program that you mentioned.
Thanks. We actually operate a program called SCORES. It stands for Social, Cultural, Outreach, Recreational, Educational, and Sustainable Living. And what we do is this is what we call our resident engagement. Our residence life program takes those students and gives them life skills and engages them in the community, creates social connections for them, and basically builds a social life and social infrastructure using those tools. And it's been very effective and a great way for us to take those students that are coming out of the dorms and creating a nurturing environment where they can grow socially and responsibly. You know, we take our job seriously. We want to create the best kids out there. So when they're living with us, they're engaged on social activities, they're engaged on cultural activities, they're engaged on outreach activities. We have one of the largest outreach activities going on out there. They're engaged on recreational fronts. They're engaged on entertainment, and they're engaged on sustainability. So it's a great way to engage the residents. We've had a lot of success with it, and we think it's the right thing to do.
All right. Well, Ted, a lot of interesting stuff going on in the student housing sector. Really appreciate you taking time out to talk with us today.
No problem, Alan. You take care, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
All right, and thank you all for joining us, too. For the NAREIT Podcast, I'm Alan Kenney.